You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Mo Mutsi, alongside me as always, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, how's your day going, my brother?
Beautiful, beautiful, Mo. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. You know, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day.
So, I'm glad, because here it's gray skies. As you know, I'm glad. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, we're back on our regular scheduled program here in this part of the world. So it's all good though.
Man, I'm jealous. NBA season continues to roll on, and there's a few things we've got to talk about.
Okay.
And again, my Boston Celtics threw away another huge lead.
They had the best record in the league.
Okay, but they have thrown away many leads. And I guess here's the thing with the Celtics, right? If you actually look at the numbers, like, they've got the best record, they've also, like, they're like 28th in throwing away leads in the fourth quarter and whatever, but it's just because they lose so few games, it's emphasized when they do lose a game that it's a big deal. Without Trae Young came back from like what, 20-30 points down, to win the game. And it got me thinking, because what's crazy is the Celtics have the best record in the league. They locked up the number one seed before any other team has even guaranteed playoff position.
Okay.
So now, and I know I'm going to ask you this, and you're going to say, well, Mo, I don't understand these new kids because I'm a professional. And if you're a professional, you want to win every game.
I know
what you're going to say.
I'm not going to say that.
What you're going to say. But what I want to ask is, having locked up that number one seed so much earlier than everyone else in the conference and in the NBA, do you think there is a tendency, because the Celtics players came out and said after the game that they took their foot off the gas in the second half after having such a great first quarter and first half. Do you think that once a seed is locked in and there's no danger of slipping down, that players are taking it easier, trying to preserve themselves and their efforts ready for the playoffs?
You know, I'm looking at this team through a championship lens. Listen, the human element always comes into play. It's a natural tendency to let up. It's a natural tendency to be up big and get comfortable. It's a natural tendency. They've already secured their spot. That's natural. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with this team acknowledging that, we let up a little bit. That's just human nature. Check. Okay. Mm. What I would have a problem with if they said everything was okay, because this is the NBA and anybody can get beat at any given time. Now, you've heard me say this a million times. It's very hard to win in the NBA. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how talented you are. You actually have to go out there and do it. Now, when I looked at their schedule, or I looked at their team last night, or the game was last night, they had a couple guys sitting out. They had a couple guys sitting out. Okay, it's very hard to win.
Drew Holiday and Derek White, so their backcourt was not available.
It's very, very difficult, Mo, because again, I say this all the time, but I just want to remind you, is you have to have that guard who plays, you know, and be able to play downhill and do those things. You don't just take your two starting guards, not one, but you take two of your starting guards. By the way, both of those guys are really, really good, especially on the defensive end. They're probably all defensive players, both of them, this year.
Yeah.
And then you're up 20 without your two starting backcourt players. Now, I don't know how many teams could actually do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we're still disappointed when you take out two all-defensive, all-caliber players and then say, well, I'm disappointed we didn't win the game. Now, that's how good they really are. That's how good they can take both of their starting guards. How many teams could do this? So I'm just going to take Steph Curry and whoever's the, and just say, okay, let's go. I'm going to take Anthony Edwards and Conley.
Steph Curry can't even rest for 8 minutes without the Warriors.
This is what I'm saying. I'm just going to take Anthony Edwards and Conley out and then be like, I can't believe we lost. Can you believe it? Mo, like, what's going on? Like, that's not how this works. Okay. So that just lets you know how good this team is. And you know what I really like is that they expected to win every game regardless.
Mm.
Because it would be really easy for them to say, well, You know, both of our guards are out. Hey, we expected to lose. Now, to me, when you see this, this is when you begin to see, oh, yeah, they did lose that game. Yes, they did let that slip away. Okay. Why did they let it slip away? Well, Mo, one of the reasons is because they didn't have their normal guard play.
Yeah.
Just
They started with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in the backcourt with Sam Hauser at the three and then Porzingis and Horford. So usually Horford's coming off the bench as well.
This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable to me. Now, did they lose? You don't get any points in this business for, you know, losing a game because you play it hard. You don't get any of that. However, I do like the fact that this team still expects to win every game, regardless who plays. And that says a lot about this team. It says a lot about their culture. It says a lot about their coaches. The fact that they still had a game plan that they thought could work. And it did work for the most part.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it was just the three-point shooting of the Hawks. They shot 50% in the second half, and the Celtics shot 20-something percent. And the numbers game, in the way the NBA is played now, you're going to lose.
Okay. But I feel pretty confident if one, especially if both of those guys play, that they'll win that game. I feel good about saying that.
Yeah.
And I'll take
And I also feel pretty good if you're another team watching that game. Okay, guys, we've got the game plan from the Hawks. Go out there and shoot 50% from 50%. Three and we'll win. Okay. Good luck.
And but that happens in the NBA.
It does. It does. So, but that can't be your strategy to shoot 50%.
If you shoot 50% from three, you deserve to win. Like, some nights it's your night. So I respect that, but I'm not concerned. I love the fact that they came out and played. They were competitive. They lost a 2-point game, and now the world is crumbling down. Okay, all right.
And they won like 9 games before that anyway.
Hey, who's looking though? Well, let's just talk about the stuff when they don't win. You know, let's talk about that.
This is what got me thinking is like, I've not heard anyone in the media talking about what Zion's doing in New Orleans. Like,
Zion has really put together a really nice year.
They've crept up to fourth in the Western Conference. And I don't hear no one talking about it.
Yeah, because it seems like every time they get to that mark where you want to believe in them, like, you know this, but you know I really like that team. But it's always something like Brandon Ingram is out. And then just when you're starting to feel good about them, then something else happens. But I like this team. I like what Zion is doing this season. And I'm rooting for them. However, something is missing that won't allow them to get over the top. Something. But I'm still rooting for this team because they are very talented. And as you know, Brandon Ingram, wow. Like, you know, I can't. Hopefully he gets back on the court soon. Zion is just, you know, he's unguardable down there. So they have a really good team.
So what's interesting is the winning percentages for the month of March so far. Houston have the best record in this month, 11-1. Denver are second, 10-2. New Orleans are third, 9-2. Boston are fourth, 11-3. Then it's Orlando, OKC, New York, Sacramento, Dallas, Milwaukee. And I want to talk a little bit about the Phoenix Suns here, because the Phoenix Suns lost a tough one against the San Antonio Spurs without Victor Wembanyama even playing.
How about that?
Okay. Now, when you look at the standings as it stands right now, when we're recording this episode, the Suns are now down to eighth. Okay. But you look at their schedule for the remainder of the season and it's a gauntlet. Check this out, BJ. Okay. The Nuggets, the Thunder, the Pelicans, the Cavs, the Timberwolves, the Pelicans, a back-to-back with the Clippers, the Kings, and the Timberwolves. Not one single game you look at there and you think, oh, this should be a win. That's a very, very tough schedule for them to close out the NBA season. And, you know, with the way that the Lakers have won their last three, the Warriors are in a tough stretch here. They've lost two, but the Rockets have won their last nine. The Suns are in a dangerous place right now. The Suns are in a very dangerous place. How concerned are you about the Phoenix Suns right now?
You know, not that I would wish this on anyone, but I wish the playoffs kind of started today, because 7, 8, 9, 10 would be fascinating to me.
I think about that every day from like day one of the season. Like, what if the playoffs began today? What if the playoffs began today? I think about it all the time.
You know, like, If I'm OKC right now, right? They have their second seed.
Yeah.
They would play the Dallas Mavericks.
It depends on the play-in, but assuming Mavericks depends on the play-in.
But they could potentially play the Dallas Mavericks. Like, I would be fascinated to see, like, you know, I would want to see who would, you know, the people pick to win the series. I mean, think about that, Mo. I mean,
I would be inclined to pick the Mavericks.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just fascinated. I'm fascinated to see the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th team. I mean, Dallas, Phoenix, the Lakers, and Golden State to play in for the play-in.
Well, it might not be Golden State. It might be the Houston Rockets.
It might be the Houston
Rockets.
And
I read a report today, Şengün might be back before the end of the season.
Hey, shout out to the Houston Rockets. Shout out to Jalen Green and what they're doing down there. I mean, they're playing right around 500 basketball. Now they are like, they've made a turn. They're playing competitive basketball. And again, every young team, I always say this, it's important for your young players to play meaningful games. This is important for them to play games where it actually means something. That's when you begin to learn how hard and difficult this league really is. And that's when you make a step. So this organization has made tremendous strides. They're right in the place where they want to be. They could get into the play-in, and that would be fantastic for this organization. So Coach Udoka and all his staff and those people down there, congrats. And most important to those players, because they're the ones who are doing it night in and night out. And if they get Şengün back, man, that's an added bonus.
Absolutely. I mean, I want to apologize to the subscribers of my YouTube channel, because I started this season on what could potentially turn out to be an amazing run of predictions. The first one was 5 months ago. Victor Wembanyama has already broken the NBA before he'd even started his first game.
Right.
The next one was about the Nuggets, and I think you watched that one, but about how Peyton Watson can really step up and give them the depth that they need and a few other guys on their bench, and they go back to back as champions. That's a dub. And then I had one about the Houston Rockets and how Ime Udoka's put in his defensive scheme and his offensive scheme, and I called them a play-in / playoff team. That could come true. I had one about the Clippers and why I'm not a believer in them. And despite their hot stretch, they're now coming right back down to earth. I heard someone ask James Harden the other day, are you the team that went on that crazy win streak, or are you that team who's had this horrible record ever since? And he said, I don't know, which is not the kind of confidence you want to hear 3 weeks away from the NBA playoffs. They're only
I found interesting. You know what's interesting? No one has said, but I want to say this here. I want to say this. Because you learn a lot about your team when you lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We sing people's praises when they win, right? Everything must be good. And then we shout. We shout, right? When teams, it's a disaster when they lose, and get rid of this guy or whatever. You know what was fascinating about this winning and losing? It was about the same time Russell Westbrook got hurt.
Absolutely. And it's also about the same time where Kawhi Leonard stopped shooting 50% from three, 50% from the field, and putting up MVP numbers every night. That's going to win you a bunch of games.
Yeah. And the reason I am acknowledging this is because they started winning when Russell Westbrook made the decision to go to the bench.
Yeah.
So the leadership is one of those things, Mo, you can't see. That everyone understands that has had an opportunity to win or play in a winning organization. Leadership counts and leadership matters. It's amazing to me how no one has said this. And I just been kind of just watching it. So they started winning after that decision was made by Russell. And then they started losing when Russell got hurt right around the same time.
Yep. And he came back last night, though, and they got destroyed by the Pacers.
Yes, they got destroyed. Yes, yes.
And
I'm sure he came back early too. And I don't know this, but I bet he came back early.
Oh, 100%. It's Russell Westbrook. But here's something interesting. Ty Lue said after the game, the Clippers' identity is that they're soft. That's the head coach of the team trying to spark a reaction out of his players.
When Russell comes back and he gets himself back in, he will be impactful to that team. He will be impactful. It's amazing to me how one player can change the course of a team, of an organization with their impact. And I want to say that about Russell, because Russell, you know, he went through some things when he was out here and when he's playing for the Lakers.
Hell yeah.
But you can see how impactful he will be. That's why I'm sticking with him, because there's one thing I can count on with Russell. He's going to fight.
Absolutely.
Hey, he's going to fight. So absolutely. I don't expect him to last. I'm waiting for him to get thrown out of a couple games to let everyone know either you're in or you're out. And Coach Lou, if there's one thing I know about Ty Lue, and I've been knowing Ty Lue for quite some time, 20 plus years, longer than that, is he's going to go down fighting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't know who else is going to be on the team, but let me tell you one guy I know is going to be out there, Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. And if this holds true, you're going to take on the personality of your coach. There's nothing soft about Ty Lue. Now, you can say a lot of things about him, but this guy is going to demand that his team plays with a level of toughness.
Yeah, so, and you're seeing that with the Houston Rockets. Did you see that after Jabari Smith Jr. got ejected and suspended for his incident, Ime Udoka came out and said, well, if you're going to throw the punch, you may as well land it. If you're not going to land the punch, why are you throwing it in the first place? And I thought that was pretty interesting. But just going back to what you said about the impact of one player, I wanted to highlight one other player in the Western Conference because, you know, last week, I think we spoke about Derek Lively, gave him some flowers into what he's doing.
Yes.
But I read a stat today that was really interesting. The Dallas Mavericks are 13-6 since the trade deadline, where they got PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. They're 11-1 with Daniel Gafford on their team. And they're 11-0 when Daniel Gafford starts alongside Luka Doncic.
Okay.
Not only is he insanely efficient on offense, remember he had that gate, the streak of 33 made shots in a row, almost built Wilt Chamberlain's record. Mm-hmm. But on defense, like the other night, he had 5 blocks and 2 steals. He has been playing sensational basketball. And I got to admit, I was wrong at first about them pushing all their trade chips in on these two moves they made at the trade deadline. PJ Washington has been disappointing compared to maybe what they expected, but Daniel Gafford has fit in absolutely amazingly to this Dallas team. And, you know, especially with the playoffs, he's a player who's a little bit more experienced than Lively. And I think him being there is going to be absolutely crucial to their success. As we talked about, they could be the 7th seed. They could cause an upset in the first round.
I agree. I don't want to put any pressure on this young guy, young player. Listen, he's been terrific. Just when you're a young player like this and you're playing, what does he really know? Like, he doesn't really understand yet how to prepare for what he's about to see or he has to see.
Yeah.
So, but I will take it. I will take his energy. I think he's been terrific. You know, he's got two star players, not one, two star players. And clearly the game plan isn't to stop him.
No, when you're putting together, he's eating off scraps.
He's doing an exceptional job. And that's a skill in and of itself. So I'm happy for him. Give me what you got as a young player. And you know what I love? The fact that he, this early in his career, can fit in and play basketball that's winning basketball. So this will follow him throughout his career.
Yeah.
And so
it just goes to show the situations, because he was in Chicago and then he was in Washington, which is not really two winning organizations when he's been there. But now he's found himself on a team with two superstar players that are really trying. Obviously, I don't want to say contending because they're seventh, but you see what they're trying to do. And oftentimes with these players, it's not, you can't evaluate them just off face value. It's, are they in the best situation to maximize their skill set?
Listen, I've said it over and over again. It's much easier to play in winning situations because you're playing with better players. You're better with better players. When I say better players, players who are elite. Okay, those guys are getting, you know, that's why you have to respect what those guys are doing. Luka Doncic he's being game planned against every single night, and he still gets 30 or whatever he does. And so is Kyrie Irving. Then the other guy's job is to figure out how to figure out and play in the open spaces that are on the floor. And Gafford and these guys have figured it out, right?
Derek Lively.
Derek Lively, yes. I'm getting Gafford. I had him mixed up. Lively, I mean, wow. Like, I just want to say, I, not to confuse it, Lively, he's young. Like, just give me what you got.
Gafford's 25 and Lively's
20. Yes. Gafford, but, you know, he's been around. But give him credit, like what you said. Give him credit for figuring out how to play. And this is meaningful to his career.
And also, here's the thing that's fantastic now, because people were thinking, some people I saw, they were thinking, why are they bringing in Gafford when Lively's so promising? What it does is it now guarantees that for 48 minutes a night, you've got production at the five spot on the court, especially when you want to stagger your lineups. When Luka's having a rest, you've still got Kyrie in, or when Kyrie's having a rest, you've got Luka in. You've always got your elite guard paired up with a big that can block shots, protect the paint, and roll to the rim on offense. That's why they've been so good, is because now they're not having these massive crashes whenever the starters come out of the game. So I'm excited to see what they do. I'm excited for the season to keep rolling. I'm excited for another episode tomorrow of the Hoop Genius Podcast, BJ. Anything else you want to add?
Yes, I do want to add a couple of things. I want to give a shout out to Domantas Sabonis and what he did. You know, 54 straight double-doubles set to new mark. So I want to make sure that we recognize that and give him a shout out.
Your friend Michael Thompson was not a fan, because he said Wilt Chamberlain did it 227 straight times. Michael Thompson, former Laker. He said, why are we calling it a record and celebrating when Wilt did it 227 straight times?
Hey. There's Wilt, and then there's everyone else. As you know, I hold Wilt in a separate category. You know, he is in, if you're having a discussion about all time, Wilt, there's Wilt, and then there's the rest of it. So I want to recognize Domantas, what he did, because that's an incredible achievement.
Absolutely.
That's an incredible achievement, you know?
It's not just double doubles. He's put up quite a few triple doubles. If I'm not mistaken, he's leading the league in triple doubles this season. So a lot of people are upset with that, BJ.
Because
a lot of people say a dribble handoff should not be counted as an assist. What is your view on this?
Hey, you know what? It's a new game. So why can't we enjoy the game? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be the guy. I just want to enjoy the game. Like, hey, I don't care. I don't really care. It's just like, I want to enjoy the game without having to compare like what people, well, sometimes the old guys want to bring in, then the new guys want to point back what it, like, let's just enjoy the game. If the teams are running dribble handoffs now, so be it. If teams are shooting threes now, so be it. So you know what? I just want to recognize Sabonis. Listen, congrats, like whatever you're doing. I wish I could get some of those handoffs. You know, I probably could make a one or two. You know what I mean? You know, so, and also I was thinking of you last night. I go, this has Mo written all over it.
Okay.
Dante DiVincenzo, right? Yep. He makes like 11 threes. And then there was a little beef after the game. And I go, oh, this is what Mo lives for. So I watched the press conference. So Mo, I want your comment on Dante DiVincenzo. He had 11 threes. And, you know, I would love for you to comment. Because I thought it was really funny. But I'm sure you have something to say about it.
I mean, shout out to Dante DiVincenzo. An amazing shooting performance.
Right.
Shout out to your Detroit Pistons holding another L. You got to love the heart from the Pistons, you know, having something to say after the game. Right. But hey, listen, you can't be mad at a kid. He shot the lights out. And that's all I'm going to say, because all of this intensity, I'm not worried about what the Knicks do against the Pistons. I want to see if this happens in the NBA playoffs. I want to see if Dante DiVincenzo can shoot threes like that in the postseason this year.
But you gotta love the little bickering afterwards.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
I mean, it reminded me of you. I was like, you know what? That's Mo every night. Mo, you know what I would love to do? The viewers and the listeners and I would love to see Mo hold a press conference after a game. I mean, I would pay to see that. Because that press conference with Jason Hart, Josh Hart, it was like Mo. It was like the reincarnation of Mo. I was like, that sounds just like Mo. That would be something Mo would say. well, his team should have played defense better. Mm-hmm.
So that's a fact. You got to back your boy as well. So shout out to Josh Hart, man. You got to back your boy.
Shout out to Josh Hart.
I'm hoping the Knicks get healthy though. I'm really hoping that they can get Randall back. It would be elbow fixed up.
It would be interesting if they do get healthy. It would be. So, but I agree with you.
Yes, sir. Well, that's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. Appreciate you, BJ. Appreciate each and every one of you who tunes in. Make sure you subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.